Matthew 28. Praise God. So he says in 18, he says, Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we said in 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Then we said that that means there is a mission ahead, isn't it? We also said that means it is the authority of Genesis. Are we together? Because Matthew is summarizing to us a 40-day teaching concerning the kingdom of God. So if Jesus says all authority is given unto me, authority is a kingdom terminology. Are we together? It's a kingdom terminology. Now when you have the word kingdom, kingdom are two English words lumped together. You have a king, then you have his dominion. Are we together? So kingdom implies the king's dominion. Are we together? So if he says all authority is given to me, that means Jesus has a kingdom. Are we together? Are we together? So he has dominion. The kingdom has been given to him, or the kingdom is now his. So the power to carry out activities, the right, the privilege to carry out activities in that kingdom, are we together, is what he says is given unto him. So with kingdom is it, he says heaven and earth. We said heaven and earth is singular products of his creation. Are we together? Heaven and earth. Glory to God forevermore. So we said the authority of Jesus will be that authority which God has spoken to man, Adam precisely, God has spoken to Adam about. In Genesis 1:26, we see that authority. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let him have dominion. Hallelujah. Image of God will have dominion. Amen. He says, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. And I told you, if he says man is going to have dominion, are we together? Then we ought to see man demonstrating that dominion in his full, in his fullness. But we do not see man demonstrating his fullness yet, at least over the physical creation. Are we together? Are we together? I told you, you find man still being threatened by animals. So the authority that he's talking about here is not really, really the physical domination. Are we together? That we observe between man and other creatures. Are we together? That's why you observe, the moment you're turning your attention to look at something that is not what the scripture is saying, you will see some imperfection there. That's to show you, this is not what the scripture is saying. Is it clear? You see imperfections there. Are we together? Let man have dominion. Then you see some imperfection. In the natural, because you have to be real, you have to be truthful. So the authority that Jesus spoke about, or that Moses rather, he's talking about here in Genesis 1:26, is the authority of the man who is in the image of God. Or better put, the man who is the son of God. Or better put, the man who is the seed, or in the seed of God. Glory to God forevermore. So we said yesterday night into this morning, you know, that the work of God is what Moses describes in Genesis 1:26. That is, man will now function on the earth on God's behalf. So man in the image of God is man carrying out the work of God. Are we together? He says he will have dominion. We saw later on in Genesis 3:15-16. He says the seed of the woman will bruise the head of a serpent and shall bruise his heel. Are we together? He will take care of sin. He will also take care of the attendant consequences of sin, which is death, and also many times sickness. It's a healing night. Are we together? Are we together? Alright. So look at this. In Genesis chapter 1, it shows us this is God's work on the earth. man will function in God's work on the earth. That man who functions in God's work on the earth is man in the image of God. He takes that message, Moses, like we said earlier, he goes to Egypt. He takes that message to the nation of Israel. Who is the nation of Israel, or who was the nation of Israel, or who are the nation of Israel? The nation of Israel refers to the descendants of Abraham. Are we together? The descendants of Abraham. If we look at God's word to Abraham, are we together? In Genesis chapter 15, quickly. Genesis chapter 15. If you see God's word to Abraham, he says in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me, he says, thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house shall be my heir, or is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Notice they say thy seed. Thy seed. Are we together? He says, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? For righteousness. Are we together, children? Now, if you follow the next verses, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the hall of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an ephah of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, the turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took him and divided them in the midst on against another, one against another. But the birds divided it up. 11. So God wasn't teaching him how to sacrifice. He knew how to sacrifice already. Are we together? So look, when the fowls came down from the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now look at the storm. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Now a deep sleep is Moses' language of explaining a vision. Are we together? A vision. The first instance where we see this was with Adam himself, when a deep sleep came upon him. Are we together? For God to then bring out of his rib a woman. Are we together? So that shows you what Moses was talking to Adam about was a vision. Or speaking about Adam was that he had a vision. So in 15 verse 12 of Genesis, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. This refers to what he saw in the vision. What did he see? 13. He said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve him, and serve them rather, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Oh, so that explains why he saw what looked like a horror. Are we together? It means in the vision, he had sight of the punishment. Are we together? And the terror that the whole nation of people was going to. Horror. Are we together? God was showing him in a vision the sufferings of the nation Israel. Are we together? In Egypt. Is that clear to you? So look at verse 13. 14 now. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in good old age. Are we together? Now look at 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So look at that. He says, that nation, verse 14, whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. So did God show Abraham the Exodus? Exodus means exit. Is it clear? Exit. So did God show Abraham the Exodus of Israel? Don't forget I said Exodus will lead to a Genesis, a new beginning. A new beginning is always preceded with what? An exodus. Is it clear? That is why the reason for the book of Genesis was the event of exodus. Is it clear? Is it clear? Moses had to explain to them, this is what God is doing, this is why I have come. And that explanation, he goes to Abraham to show them. Are we together? So you observe, God speaks to Abraham about his seed that shall fulfill his promise. If you back up to chapter 12, it says, now the Lord, verse 1, had spoken unto Abraham, said to Abraham, he says, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Now, I told you earlier on, I've told you severally, that when God told Abraham to get out of his country, to get out of his kindred, and from his father's house. Are we together? The focus was not that Abraham will leave a place. Now, we literally saw Abraham to journey. Are we together? But what God was talking to Abraham about was not really about taking a journey. The come out of thy country, come out of thy kindred, come out of thy father's house was more of leaving an influence than leaving a physical location. Is it clear? But Abraham, in leaving an influence, had to leave a physical location. Are we together? Alright. So look at this. He says, a land that I will show you. A land that I will show you. Now, if you are not a careful Bible reader, you will think that the land was Canaan. The land is not Canaan. Are we together? The land is not Canaan. Because look at this. As an idol worshiper, if you look at Genesis 11 quickly, Genesis 11. So, again, you will observe that Moses is an intelligent writer. Very intelligent. Are we together? Yeah. The reason for the book of Exodus, or for the Exodus, is what? The book of Genesis, right? Right? God wants to do a new beginning, or carry out a new beginning. Are we together? Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? So God wants to carry out a new beginning, so he carries out an exodus, or he initiates an exodus. Amen. So that means Moses is writing to Israel the book of Genesis to show them God's restoration plan towards them. Have we agreed on that? Now, Genesis has how many chapters? 50 chapters, isn't it? So, in showing them what God is around to do with them. Amen. In showing them what God has sent him, what God is around to do with them, he uses the entire book of Genesis, or what later became the entire book of Genesis, a story. Are we together? That means what Moses is focusing on in the book of Genesis was Abraham. Are we together? That is why he takes out of 50 chapters about 40 to talk about Abraham and his seed. It shows you that book was built on Abraham. We started this conference and said, you want to know about Jesus, go read about who? Abraham. So the entire book of Genesis is built on Abraham. What about Abraham? God's promise to Abraham. Are we together? So in other words, if God goes to Egypt, or if Moses goes to Egypt, Moses is going to Egypt to fulfill God's word to Abraham. We just read it in chapter 15. They will be suffering. I will go and redeem them. I will judge the nation that is holding them captive. Are we together? Why does God visit Abraham with that mission or with that assignment?
Why did God promise Abraham that?
Are we together? He gives us a background. Are we together? So he gives us a background of, look at this carefully. He gives us a background of Genesis chapter 10. Are we together? And 11. If you look at Genesis 10 and 11, Genesis 11, he says the whole earth was of one language. If you read on and on, you will come to the incident or the narrative of the whole world coming together to build a particular what? Tower. Are we together? They called it Babel, isn't it? Now, time will not permit me in this meeting to explain all that to you. Do that later on. The way it was presented, or the way many people read it, is like they were going to gather and build. They wanted to build a house whose top will reach up onto what? To heaven. Are we together? Are we together? So it looks as though, as we were building, you know, I remember some years ago, someone had explained that God was not happy because they were building that building so that after a while they can shake God. That's what the fellow said. I found it very funny. Are we together? So the way you are reading it, it looks as though God was agitated that this is where I'm building a house. He says they want the top to reach heaven. So God was like, what are they trying to do? Room you love to stay alone, and somebody wants to invade your room. Say, what's all this? Myself, come. Are we together? My villa. Are we together? My mansion. Amen. Amen. God is not afraid of us invading his mansion. Is it clear? When Jesus came, he said, "In my Father's house there are many." Did you see that? That kind of contradicts, right? Because Jesus came and he said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." So how then will God be agitated in Genesis? That people want to build a house that will enter into his house. I think he should have welcomed it. That wasn't what was happening. Are we together? Are we there? When he says they were going to build a house, a tower, you observe, if you read, I'm paraphrasing because we can't go into all of those texts now. If you read that text very well, he said, the people said, "Come, we will build ourselves a name." See, name in the Old Testament has a what? A significance. It is not name like... Are we together? Name doesn't just have to do with what you are called. Are we together? Are we together? By now you can see that it's not as English as you think. Name. Let us build ourselves a name. So look at this. Humanity was united in a selfish mission. Amen. Don't forget, we said that God's work on the earth is described as what? Building. So God is not against building, but he's against buildings that are not his own. Is it clear? That seeks to oppose his plans. That is why Paul will say, bringing down every high thing that exalts itself against what? He is teaching from the Babel text. Are we together? Paul is teaching from Genesis 11 that this is what God has called us to do. The same way he brought down that tower, he is working in us to bring down every tower. But Paul now shows us that the towers we are bringing down is in people's minds. Not physical towers. You will see two scenarios like that. The bringing down of Babel, the bringing down of Jericho. Are we together? We can't look at that today. Are we together? So look at this. In that, they said, let us build ourselves a name. He now says we will build ourselves a tower whose top will reach up onto where? Heaven. Now, if you follow me carefully, I have explained what heaven means to you. That heaven has to do with what?
a supernatural being. A supernatural realm. A supernatural realm. So in the real sense of it, the tower at Babel was not going to be built into the sky, into heaven, as you are thinking. No. Today we have a building on earth. Are we together? What's the name of the building again? Burj Khalifa, right? Yeah. So now, the building is so tall that if you were at the first few, floors, are we together, of the building, you will literally be in a different time zone with the people under. Go read it. To tell you how deep into the sky, I think God should have ruined that building too. Because that is more advanced than the one we saw in Genesis. Are we together? So God is not agitated by human innovations. Quit it. We will build a house whose top will reach up into heaven. Look at that background, the background of that text. The people there, idol worshippers, supernaturally inclined. Is it clear? Now, if you read other texts of the book of Genesis and some other texts in the same account, are we there? I'm talking about Exodus. I'm talking about Leviticus. You will observe that usually towers are used as places of worship. Amen. It was the cultural mindset that they had in that world, that anytime they want to worship a supernatural being, they will erect a surface. Many times at the top of it, they apply things like blood. They apply things like oil. Are we together? Substances in worship or reverence of the deity. In fact, many times they kill a human being, put his blood on it, they spill the blood on top of it. Are we together? You will already see that in Genesis 28. The moment Jacob had that encounter and he got up from the vision, he said, "Oh, the Lord is here, and I did not know." He says, "How dreaded or dreadful is this place?" The next thing he does, he sets a stone and anoint it. Are we together? So they had a background, a cultural mindset, are we together, of setting up altars for supernatural beings. See, this is the background of Genesis 11. The people were literally building a place of worship for supernatural beings. God comes and he destroys that. Because his building on the earth will be to worship. Call him selfish. He is God. The earth belongs to him. Are we together? Are we together? And that is not selfishness. That is actually setting things alight. Like you'll be setting alight in your body this evening. Are we together? Every building, anything building up, is it clear? Will be what? Will be crushed. Are we together? Are we together? Blood pressure building up. Come down. Is it clear? The blood pressure. Come down. Are we together? Blood sugar. The sugar is increasing. Are we together? Cells that are sporadically just increasing without control. Are we together? Boom! When God does that, it is to show what he does supernaturally in his plan. Are we together? Are we together? He crashes things. God crashes things. Are we together? Because the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord. See, it doesn't matter your scientific innovations. It does not matter your knowledge. The earth belongs to God. Are we together? He created the earth. God can do what he likes with the earth. He created the earth. Amen. And that is the end point of the one who believes that because he has interacted so much about God's creation, he can put God aside. He will meet God at the end. God created the heaven and the earth. Together. He created the supernatural world. He created the natural world. God has lordship. over the earth. The earth is his own. Is it clear? Is it clear? The earth is what? His own. So that is why we must learn how to use the earth from him. Amen. So look at this. They were going to build a temple whose top reaches into heaven. That is, for the Ziggurat in Hebrew. I can't explain that now. But they will build a platform, a complex, a strong building, wherein they will be worshipping different supernatural beings. Are we together? Why did Moses give us the account of Genesis 11? He wasn't just to tell us a story. He wanted to talk about Abraham. So he gave us a background of where Abraham came from. Are we together? So if you have read Genesis 11, if you are now reading about Abraham, you will understand that Abraham is coming from that idol worshipping background. Are we together? How useful is that knowledge? We'll see shortly. So in Genesis 11, we said the promised land, I didn't want to use that word. I didn't want to use that word. It's fine. We said the land that God promised to Abraham was not really Canaan. Because he mentions the family of Noah in chapter 10. In 11, having scattered the land at Babel, having scattered idol worship in Babel. Look at verse 23. And Serug lived how many years? 30 years begot Nahor. Serug lived after begot Nahor 200 years and begot sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. And Nahor lived after he begot Terah 119 years. And they got sons and daughters. I told you genealogy is very important. Look at verse 26. And Terah lived how many years? And they got who? Abram. Did you see? He traced the genealogy. He's an intelligent writer. He wants to focus the next 30 something chapters on that Abraham. Are we together? So look at this. He says in verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Haran, and Haran begat Lot. So Lot is his cousin, right? In 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of nativity, in the awe of the world, Chaldees. He's telling you where Abraham came from. The awe of the Chaldees is an idol worshipping community. Are we together? Seriously endemic with idols. In 29, and Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of what? Iscah. Look at 30. But Sarah was barren child. Now look at 31 and 32, everyone. Let's. Sarah took what? His son. And Lot, his son, the son of what? Aaron, his son. And Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife. And they went forth with them from the awe of the Chaldees to go into. So was it God that showed Abraham Canaan, or they had already set out? Thank you. Did you see that? So he said Canaan is the land of promise. Calm down. As an idol worshipper, they were already emigrating. And they were going towards what? Canaan. Is it clear? So look at verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran on the way to where? Canaan. So what Abraham does is that Abraham simply continued the journey to the land where his dad has set out to relocate to. Is it clear? So if God is promising Abraham a land, you need to look away from Canaan.
Because he now tells him,
unto a land that I will show you. That means he does not know that land yet. So the land that God promised Abraham, Abraham does not yet know it. Are we together? Abraham does not yet see. In fact, let me get very clear. The land, amen. Look at chapter 12. He says, the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. The word house there, are we together? Is the Hebrew word bayith. In the Hebrew, bayith. B-A-Y-I-T-H. When bayith is used, bayith is not used for a place. Bayith is used for a people, a family. Are we together? So when he says, get thee out of thy country, he's not saying country, Nigeria. He's talking about a people. Are we together? Get thee out of thy kindred. Did you see that? A people. That's the same thing explained as get thee out of thy father's household. Not father's house. Father's household. So he was told to leave an influence of idol worshipping, because God will separate Abraham for his own purposes from the worship of supernatural beings that the whole world had already been engaged in, which we saw in Genesis 11. God will call Abraham out for his own purposes. This is what Moses was intelligently submitting, which later became Bible texts as we are reading. Now look at what God tells Abraham, which is where we're going tonight. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Look at 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse thee. Hallelujah. He says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what God was going to do to Abraham will cut across how many people? All. Now, when he says all the family, he's not talking about daddy, mommy, and children. No. No. Family is used for tribes. Family has to do with whatever factor connects a kind of people. So when he says, indeed, all the families of the earth, it means all the various tribes, cultures. Are we together? Societies, races, languages, all kinds of humanity, by whatsoever parameter they use to identify with one another. Is it clear? All of them will be blessed. Now look at this. We need to look at the word blessed and the word curse. Because now God is saying, I will curse them that curse you. Does God really curse? Are we together? Are we together? When he says, I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you, then he comes later on in the flesh. He says, bless them that curse you. Ah. How? I thought you curse those who curse you. Why do you say I should bless them? Are we together? And the same God that was talking to Abraham is the one who became flesh. Is that a contradictory? No, it is not. The contradiction is in your own mind. Is it clear? Bless them that bless thee. The word bless there is the word bakor. B-A-K-O-R. Bakor. Now, anytime bakor is used, I'll show you all of those words tonight. But when bakor is used for to welcome someone, to bring someone to where you are, or to have fellowship with somebody. Are we together? To welcome. That's what it means to bless. To be welcome. That is, oh, you have a part with us. Are we together? On the other hand, to curse means to throw away. To choose not to relate with. To renounce. Is it clear? Now, the word bless and curse had been used before this text in the garden. Did you see that? Are we together? The word curse. Now, when God told Adam that thou art cursed for disobedience, what was the next thing that happened? He was sent out of the garden. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, cursed means departure. To send away. To refuse to have confederacy. To push away. Are we together? Are we together? So, the cursed man is out of God's garden. Out of fellowship. Out of God. That is the curses. Blessing is to be in God's plan. So, a blessed man is because he is in God's plan. A cursed man is not because he doesn't have money. In fact, from our own parameter, a man can have a lot of money, but in God's sight is what? He is cursed. Any man that is not found in God's plan is dwelling in curses. Because the curse in Genesis means in the sacred place. To not be found functioning in God's image. That is the curse. So Moses brings the same word which he has used earlier on as the garden. He brings it to Abraham. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. So what does it mean? Now look at Abraham. God had given Abraham a mission, right? When he says, in thee all the families of the earth shall be what? Shall be blessed. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What was God doing with Abraham? God brings Abraham into his plan, right? Then he says, in you, all the families of the earth shall be brought into my plan. Are we together? All the families of the earth that are also worshipping idols, they will be separated unto my purpose. The same way I've separated you unto my purpose. Is it clear? So I will bless them that bless you. Is God saying, I will welcome whosoever welcomes you. What does it mean? What I have for you, or what I am doing through you, I will do it through them too. Is it clear? So I will bless them that bless you. Is a language of the work of the ministry. I will walk through men who accept you. I will accept them. I will bless them that bless thee. I will bring into my plan those who receive you. I will receive them. I will receive. I will welcome those who welcome you. Why will he say that? I will welcome those who welcome you. Because welcoming Abraham is welcoming God's plan. Are we together? Rejecting Abraham will be rejecting the mission that God gave him. So Abraham was actually a world evangelist. Abraham was called as that man who will go from nation to nation preaching the gospel. Are we together? That was why when he got to Abimelech and the guy saw his wife, God said, let him pray for you. He is a prophet. A prophet is God's spokesman. So Abraham will be God's spokesman in the nations of the world. So how will all the families of the earth be welcome into God's land when they hear the message of God on whose lips? Abraham's lips. Did you get it? So the Abraham you are reading is actually a minister of the gospel. He will preach God's gospel. We observe him in the house of Abimelech when his wives were barren. He now prayed for them, and then they brought forth children. So Abraham had the gift of the Spirit working in his ministry. He had the gift of healing. He had the message of the gospel. If you are not a careful Bible reader, you will just be reading stories. God's plan will be hidden from you. Say it is not hidden. Is it clear? So that is the Abraham that we are talking about. That is the Abraham we are talking about. He is a minister of the gospel. And through him, God will restore the whole world into his plans and purposes. So God tells him, I will curse them that curse you. I will reject those who reject you. Why? Because rejecting you is rejecting my plans. Is it clear? Is it clear? I will bless them that bless you. I will welcome those who welcome you. Why? Because by welcoming you, They have already welcomed me. Is it clear, church? Is it? So look at this. In the same Genesis chapter 12, he now says, I will bless them that bless thee. He says, thou shalt be a blessing. He says, in thee, verse 3, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So this was God's promise to Abraham. A restoration of all the earth. And look at me, church. Did you observe that that restoration is still happening today? Has all the families of the earth been restored to God? No. So God's word to Abraham is still happening today. And we are fulfilling that mission. Do you get it? Of restoring the whole earth. So on the earth, the generations might change. The technological advancement might change. Modernism might set in. Medical innovations can change. Because science is increasing. But the plan of God remains the same. Do we get it? To do what? To restore the whole earth unto himself. So he now shows him the vision of his descendants, which he will use to continue his plan, Israel. So that was why he went to Egypt to bring Israel out. So the bringing out of Israel was to continue the covenant he made with Abraham. But Israel failed. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So we saw that God's work on the earth is the work of restoration. The one through whom he will continue the restoration is now called seed of Abraham. Or son of Abraham. Are we together? So the son of Abraham is supernatural. It's a supernatural thing. It's not necessarily a physical lineage. It can be physical lineage, but it's not necessarily a physical lineage. It has to do with seeing God's plan with Abraham and continue it. So when he says the promise of a land to Abraham, the land would refer to a people, not a place. Is it clear? That was why you observe that the promise of a land that was given to Abraham was repeated to Isaac, although Abraham didn't get it. The promise of a land was even given to Jacob, as though Isaac didn't get it. The promise of was now given to the whole Israel again. Are we together? Now, someone now say, where does Canaan come in? Because literally, when Moses was addressing his audience, he kept on referring to Canaan. Are we together? But look at this. If you are not careful, you will think Canaan was the promised land. Canaan became a land of promise. Are we together? Not because God was going to take them to Canaan for the first time, but because that was where Abraham went. Are we together? Don't forget, Abraham was in Canaan. He begat Isaac. He begat Jacob. Then they got hungry. Then they left Canaan for Egypt. Then they overstayed. Are we together? And the next Pharaoh, who did not honor Joseph, held them in captivity. So God returns them to the place where they came from. But it doesn't mean that place was the promised land. Is this clear? So was there Canaan in view? Yes. But why? Because that was where they left. But God's promise is bigger than the physical location. The land, are we together? The land, Eretz, in the Hebrew, refers to a people. So God was telling Abraham to leave a people for another people that he would give him. That's the same thing Jesus repeated in Mark 10. When Peter said, oh, we have left everything for you, Jesus now responded, no one who has left father or mother or houses, are we together? He says, for my sake, he says, he will regain, are we together? In a what? A hundredfold, fathers, mothers, sisters, houses. He's not saying I will give you mansions. Houses there means household. I will give you a new family because you have to leave a particular family for my sake. So God's promise of land throughout the entire Bible is a people. Look at me today. Does Abraham have that people all over the earth? Thank you. We are now called his seed. He has the people. So the promise of God to Abraham was to restore the old earth to him. That earth restored, the people will be the land that I will show you. So when he was doubting, God said, come, follow me. Come. He takes him out. He says, look up. He looks up. He says, count the stars. Abraham would have said, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20. I think I've counted that before. 22. Oh, I can see that. This one does not look visible. 25, 40, 90, 100. What is this for? Then God says, keep counting. Then he counts. Then, I can't still get it. What are you saying? Then he says, keep counting. And then suddenly it clicks. When he said, so shall thy seed be. Are we together? If I were Abraham, or if Abraham were you, or if you were Abraham, you will tie your shoes and get out for the ministry. Are we together? If you were Abraham, you will hold your belts, put on your jackets, and set out for the work of God. Are we together? God showed him. He says, as the sand of the seashore, as the stars of heaven, so shall the land be, thy seed be. It was a promise of the whole world. That is why no New Testament writer, all of them kept talking about Abraham. This is the blessing of Abraham. You and I. Are we together? Are we together, church? We'll look at that maybe next year conference. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So God gives him the promise of a land. The land that I will show you. The land that you will possess. Your seed will possess it. Glory to God. It was a promise of restoration. So God counts it to him as righteousness when he believed. So that shows you that God is in the business of restoring the world unto himself. He restores the whole. This is what the writers of the New Testament books taught as righteousness. Making things right. Setting things alight. Paul would then explain you and I as ministers of righteousness. God is using us just like he used Abraham to set the world alight. Is it clear, church? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, he says, if any man in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. He says, who has reconciled also himself through Christ Jesus? For he says, to we that God was in Christ and reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing that trespasses unto them, and had given unto us the word, the method of reconciliation. Are we together? He says, in 20, then we as ambassadors of Christ, we did beseech you in Christ. Then he says, be reconciled unto God. 21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Why does he call us the righteousness of God? It's not a title to be smiling at. Righteousness of God, it means through you God is setting the world aright. He said he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Then he says he gave us the word of reconciliation. Then he says he has made us the righteousness of God. That means we are ministers of God setting the world aright. So look at this. What God does on the earth today, amen, is that he sets things aright. He sets nations aright with him. He brings people into fellowship with him. He heals the nations. Hallelujah. The prophets employs the word healing to describe God's work. Healing. So you will see why the prophet, in teaching parables, they kept describing God as healing. Are we together? What is actually healing? Amen. is the nations of the earth. Are we together? But they use physical healing to describe that. Because if he will heal the nations, then my health will not be a problem. Are we together? So when Jesus came in the flesh and he was healing the sick, he was teaching us why he came, to heal the nations. Are we together? To heal the nations. Is he still healing the nations today? Seven. Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Offering forgiveness of sins to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. In Psalm 103, glory be to God forevermore. In fact, before then, if you look at Exodus chapter 15, you will observe that. Exodus 15. Don't forget I told you that the interventions of God amongst men were to typify what he is doing on the earth. Is it clear? Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, glory to God. In verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree where he has cast in the waters. He says the waters were made sweet. There he made them for a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. 26. He says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which are brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that word healed thee. Why does he say, I am the one that healed thee? Because that is his mission on the earth, healing the nations. He heals the nations of sin and death. He demonstrates that by taking away physical sicknesses. Are we together? So when we see a healed person amongst us, God is showing us, I am the savior of the soul. Are we together? The physical interventions will point to a supernatural reality. Are we together? The supernatural sickness or the spiritual sickness is seen in the heart. So it takes away sin in the body. Are we together? To point you to the fact that he is the one that deals with the sin in the heart. Are we together? The healer of the soul. He heals the physical body to point to that. So God in scripture is described as our healer. In Psalm 103, he says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Hallelujah. He says, who forgiveth all what? All what? And does what? Did you see that? He says, who forgiveth? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Who forgiveth all what? Iniquities. So what does he do? He forgives what? Iniquities. How does he show that he is the one who is forgiving iniquities? By healing what? Sicknesses. Is it clear? That is why salvation and healing are synonymous terms. Are we together? Are we together? They are synonymous terms. Salvation and healing are used together in the scriptures. Glory to God forevermore. Salvation and healing are used together. In fact, you observe that many times when Jesus was going to heal somebody or had healed somebody and the Pharisees had issues with it, Jesus would tell you, I healed him so you will know that the Son of Man had the power to forgive what? Sins. Did you see that? So the physical healing points to what? Forgiveness of sins. Glory to God forevermore. So the one that forgives people's sins demonstrates that that is what he does by taking away their what? Sicknesses. So look at this. You will never for once observe Jesus asking any sick person how the sickness came. No. That is his mission. He takes it away. He doesn't condemn.
Hallelujah.
So now we're going to see his work again.
Hallelujah. He is the great healer here.
So when he says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, he says, there I am in the midst of them. In the midst of them to do what? Does it include healing? Does it include healing? There I am in the midst of them. Does it include healing? Does it include deliverance? Hallelujah. Say, God is healing tonight. Say, he is delivering tonight. Because that is what he does. He restores things. What is healing? Healing is restoration.
Hallelujah. Healing is what? Restoration. Healing is restoration. Healing means to restore. To restore. Healing means to repair. To repair. That's what healing is.
It means to repair. That means when things are worn out in our bodies, he repairs them.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. When things are worn out in our bodies, he does what?
He repairs them.
When things are missing in our bodies, what does he do? He recreates them.
Hallelujah.
So in the scripture, God has the identity of a savior. He also has the identity of a healer. Glory to God. When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It includes wanting healing. I shall not lack. The power of God is here tonight to heal. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So if you are here tonight, I'm so excited. Hallelujah. And you have any form of sickness in your body, oh, it doesn't matter what the doctor has said. It doesn't matter your experiences. Oh, this is how it feels. This is what the doctor said. This is how long I've been feeling it. The power of God is able.
Hallelujah.
So I want you to know three things tonight. That God is able.
Hallelujah.
Tell your neighbor, say, God is able.
Amen.
Tell that fellow, say, God is able.
Amen.
Number two, God is willing. Tell him, say, God is willing.
Amen.
Say to the fellow, say, God is willing.
Amen.
Say, God is able.
Amen.
Say, God is willing.
Amen.
Number three, God is ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is able, he is willing, he is ready. So we see accounts upon accounts upon accounts. Why do we read in the four gospels different accounts of people getting healed? Why do we read? It is to show you, hallelujah, that God still heals today. Is it clear? And you are going to experience his power. You are going to experience his tangible power. That power sometimes acts like fire. When something needs to be burnt away, it burns it off. Is it clear? When things are missing, he replaces them. When things are worn out, he repairs them. When things are broken and irreparable, he recreates them. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, the goal is just for you to be healed. So it doesn't matter your experiences. I remember times like that, minister to some people, different times. And we make a call that if you're healing your body, come out to be healed. And some people stayed back. Later on, I got to find out that they were sick, and then they didn't come out. Maybe sometimes after the healing session, as I'm walking out of the hall, then they come running. He says, I was also healed. I wanted to pray for me. And then I tell them, I'm sorry I can't minister now. There was something on me when I made the call. Are we together? Then sometimes, you know, I saw a fellow, a woman, she now gave an excuse. He said, the reason why I didn't come out is because many preachers have prayed for me and I didn't get healed. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how many people have prayed for you. What do you stand to lose when someone else prays for you?
Hallelujah.
See, I have nothing to lose. See, I have nothing to lose. The woman with the issue of blood, she knew she had nothing to lose. She had already lost a lot. She lost money. She must have lost her image also. Because sickness is a bondage. It saps your money, saps your energy. It takes away everything from you. Many times, it is not only the person that was sick that is in the bondage. Even the loved ones get into the bondage. Because they are no more free. They have to care for the sick one.
Hallelujah.
But look at this. Tonight, those shackles will be broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. So if you're sick tonight, or you have a sick person that is not here, I'm going to be praying with you tonight. But to start with, I want to pray for many as I heal in their bodies. Are we together? Then I will pray for those who are not healed in their bodies, but they have people, loved ones, who are not here, but you're believing God to heal them also. So two sets of people. I'll be praying with you. I'll be laying hands on you. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. He says they shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they take any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Then he says they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Say, I believe tonight that by the laying on of hands, sicknesses will leave this auditorium. If you leave this auditorium, that means they left your body. Are we together? Sicknesses, diseases, defects, issues, challenges that have acted like shackles in the past couple of weeks and months and years, say, we believe God tonight. Everyone, can you believe with me tonight? Can we believe with me tonight? You know, it says where two of you shall agree on anything. Are we more than two tonight? Are we more than two tonight? Are we more than two tonight? Say, we believe God for healing tonight. Say, sickness is moved. Say, sickness is moved by the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I'm excited tonight.
I'm excited tonight.
It's alright if you want me to pray with you. Let's have a healing line here now. Have a healing line here now. God's fire is here. Follow the arrangements. The ushers are going to help. And look at it. If you are not on the healing line, you know we can do this together. Say we trust God. Say we trust God. Say we trust God. That means right there where you are. If you are not on the healing line, you can pray in the Holy Ghost with us. Is it clear? So nobody should be watching. Nobody should just be watching and looking. Are we together? Will we all participate? Are we all participating tonight? Glory to God forevermore. And I have a song. Thank you, Spirit of God.